This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the TriDot Podcast. We've learned quite a bit about general injury prevention and recovery throughout our episodes, so we are going to start getting more specific with different types of recovery products and modalities. Modalities is a word I now know from hosting this podcast. Thank you, BJ Leeper. And today, we are talking specifically about how to make use of the bits and bobs on the market that help us stretch, roll, and massage our muscles. Joining us for this conversation is Craig DiGiovanni. Craig is one of the original founders of Metadyne Healthcare Products and is currently Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing for the company. Craig has been with Metadyne for over 24 years, and as an avid runner, biker, and swimmer himself, he benefits firsthand from the company's passion for keeping athletes moving. Craig has run 5 marathons, 1 half Ironman, and many half marathons and other shorter races. Craig, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Also joining us for this is Dr. BJ Leeper. BJ graduated from the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine with a doctorate in physical therapy and rehabilitation science. He is a board-certified orthopedic specialist, a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and a USA Triathlon Level 1 coach. He specializes in comprehensive movement testing and is an avid triathlete himself, with over 50 tries under his belt. BJ now serves full-time as TriDot's Director of Performance Science. BJ, how's it going today?
Hey, it's great, Andrew. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat massage tools with you guys.
I bet you are. I am Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll approach the show like any other workout. We'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and then wind things down with our cool down. We have the coolest opportunity lined up for December of this year, 2022, to end the season racing Clash Daytona. The team from Clash Endurance is giving TriDot Nation our own portion of the RV camping area. So basically, you register for the race, you book a campsite, you get yourself there with an RV, and you hang out with other TriDotters all weekend long. We'll be staying right on the shores of Lake Lloyd. Now that's the lake inside of Daytona International Speedway. You can bring your own RV, or you can rent one from one of the partner RV rental websites. I rented an RV for TriDot coach Jeff Raines and myself from RVShare.com, and the coolest thing is Jeff and I will show up on Thursday, and our RV will be there waiting for us in our camping spot. No RV driving required. It will no doubt be an adventure camping, hanging, racing, and cheering each other on in Daytona. You can register for the race at ClashUSA.com using the code TriDotDaytona for 10% off any and all of the races you'll be doing. When you register, make sure you put down that you are with TriDot if you plan on camping with us. I plan on racing the sprint on Saturday and doing a relay for the middle distance on Sunday. I may even throw the Friday night Jingle Jog 5K in there as well. Who knows? Either way, this is going to be a special weekend, so consider this to be your invitation to the TriDot party.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
When it comes to travel, vacations, holidays, racecations even, there are certain locations that everybody knows are fantastic and live up to the hype. No one has ever visited the beaches of Hawaii, the canals of Venice, or the mountain villages of the Alps and walked away disappointed. But I'm curious today to hear about those underrated vacation spots. BJ, Craig, what was a destination you visited that really isn't talked about a lot that you think makes for a fantastic getaway or vacation? Craig, we'll start with you.
You know, I've been fortunate to go a lot of different places, but certainly one of the most memorable it was more of a destination vacation with a purpose. And we actually took my family on a mission trip to Honduras. And you wouldn't think that is a place you'd go to get away. But I'll tell you what, it it had the biggest impact on our family than anything else that we've ever done. We've been fortunate to do some, go to some nice beaches and even the mountains like you talked about, but from just, really getting a different perspective on life, really getting away, and even coming back energized. That was by far the most memorable trip we ever went on as a family. And it was so memorable that we did it again. We did it twice, actually, as a family. And so, I think there's something special about that. Some people like to just go and just, lay around and do nothing. And boy, when you go and you meet some really unique people and see just a different way of life and get to appreciate your life that much more, it has a really lasting impact. And, it's just not a week. It's a vacation that kind of carries on for almost a lifetime, really.
Yeah, and great way to see the world while you're doing some good and giving back a little bit. So great answer there, Craig. I mean, Craig, you're 2 for 2 on warm up questions on the podcast, because the last time you were on the show, you talked about seeing Frank Sinatra live in person in concert, and that's a real tough answer to top when we're talking about live concerts. So BJ, following up on Craig's answer there, what is this answer for you?
Yeah, it's cool because I agree with Craig, like, the family dynamic and that time that you spend with people really make the trip special. I think back, my answer for this is, it's no secret to people that are around the Midwest and know of this area, but the north shore of Lake Superior up on the Minnesota side had when we lived in the Midwest, we'd go up there every August, kind of late August, and it'd be the dog days of summer down where we were in Kansas City, but up in Lake Superior area, it was like a fast forward a month and a half into fall. But it was just some really special time with our family, and we'd go up there just south of Grand Marais, and Lake Superior is just majestic. And that time up there is just not often talked about as a hot vacation destination, but yeah, to our family it was really special. A lot of people around that area know of that place that not talked about a lot, but really a really cool spot.
And we've had plenty of Tri-Dotters do some of the 70.3s in the Great Lakes area, not necessarily Lake Superior specifically, but certainly 70.3 Michigan. Some of those races have a reputation for being just very, very beautiful. And yeah, BJ, to your point, when you're making a bucket list of places to visit in the U.S., that's not necessarily what comes to mind first. But to your point, you went with the family, had a very special time there. My answer here, also a city that isn't necessary, and that's kind of what we're going for here, right? Is things that don't kind of pop to mind immediately when you think of a vacation. But my wife and I did a trip, one of our favorite trips we've done, all the places we've been to in the world. We went to Columbus, Ohio, which on the surface does not scream. Craig, you're making a great face. Yeah. Like, really? Columbus? So we have a television show that we watch called Secrets of the Zoo. And this show, Secrets of the Zoo, they take you behind the scenes of the inner workings of the Columbus, Ohio Zoo. And the Columbus, Ohio Zoo has kind of in downtown Columbus, they have like their traditional zoo that you take the family to. But then about 90 minutes outside of town, they also have like a wilderness preserve with just hundreds and hundreds of acres where the animals actually just kind of roam the countryside in their enclosures. And so we watched that TV show. My wife loves that TV show. And so we were like, hey, let's get out of town for a long weekend. Let's go to Columbus and let's check out both zoos. So we did the in downtown zoo one day. We did the wilderness preserve the following day. They put you in the back of trucks and they drive you around the preserve, and you drive right up to the animals and feed the giraffes and drive in the truck alongside the camels as they're running next to the truck, and just really, really a cool experience. But then even besides that, downtown Columbus is just a gem. Just the main street walking through town has wonderful restaurants, shops, coffee shops that were great to us in the evening times. And there is a German district in Columbus, complete with a German restaurant that has live polka music. So we definitely partook in that one evening while we were there. And yeah, just a trip that we rave about. And Morgan almost was a little embarrassed to tell friends when they were like, oh, yeah, so you're taking off work, Friday and Monday. Where are you going? I'm going to Columbus, Ohio. It's like, what? But we just had an absolute blast. So either of you guys been to Columbus? Anybody?
Mm-hmm. No, can't say I have.
All right, meet me and Craig. Craig's nodding with me. He's tracking with me. Guys, we're going to throw this question out to you like we always do. Make sure you're a part of the I Am Trot Facebook group. We put our warm-up question out to the group every single Monday when the new episode comes out. So make sure you're a part of the group and find the post asking you, of all the vacation destinations you have traveled to, what is an underrated one that you'd like to share?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
We have been raving about Two-Tom Sport Shield and Blister Shield that have been literally saving our skin while we train. Well, Metadyne, the folks behind the brilliant Two-Toms lineup, also offer top-notch recovery and mobility training devices. Their ProStretch Add-A-Day lineup of recovery tools has been trusted by physical therapists, trainers, athletes, and regular exercisers for over 25 years. So whether you're searching for a ProStretch calf stretcher, foot stretcher, or Add-A-Day foam rollers and massage balls, discover a better way to prevent and treat sore, stiff, and painful muscles, tendons, ligaments, and joints at Metadyne.com. My ProStretch calf stretcher lives underneath my desk and basically gets used on a daily basis. And Add-A-Day massage balls can be found laying around numerous rooms of my house, ready for action after any good workout. There are so many recovery and stretching tools you can add to your arsenal. Check out the ProStretch Add-A-Day recovery product line at Metadyne.com and use promo code TRIDOT to get 20% off your order.
Guys, let's talk about it. So BJ, let's start here at the top with the big questions. Why is helping our muscles recover from sessions so important in the first place? And when in that process is it best to use massage recovery tools to prompt our recovery along?
Yeah, so I mean, those are definitely the big questions, right? I mean, there's a lot there to unpack. But, you know, the first question, like you said, why do our muscles need to recover? I think that's maybe the most straightforward to address first. But, you know, muscles obviously equal movement. So if our muscles aren't happy, our movement's not looking too hot. And that's funny because, you know, in sports performance, we often talk about the best way to turn a muscle on or engage it or strengthen it. But we don't often talk about the best way to turn our muscles off, because they in essence, they need rest, they need recovery. And most of us get, you know, if we're training for anything, weight training for triathlon, what have you, most of us understand that we test our muscles, we stress our muscles, then they adapt, they recover, we get stronger, we get more resilient. I think most people understand that. But what most people don't quite understand is when we get off maybe on the wrong track with that, and we actually start getting into an unrecovered state or an overstressed state. And a lot of times we talk about in the clinic, you know, somebody comes into the clinic and they're struggling with this, and we always joke that the lights are on, but nobody's home. And so certain muscles might be working overtime when they don't need to be, and it becomes a problem when rest doesn't quite solve it. So, you know, the next question is, when in that process is it best to use these massage recovery tools? I think what's good to get into and kind of lay the foundation for, and this is kind of, it's worth spending a little bit of time here up front just to kind of create the lens that we'll look through to kind of view these massage tools and recovery products, is discussing this stress recovery cycle. So normally, again, we have a normal stress that's invoked upon the muscle, and then we have this recovery that needs to take place. And most of us have experienced the DOMS, or delayed onset muscle soreness, that we know.
Absolutely.
That, yeah. You know, if we a couple days after, we're a little sore, but we rest and it eventually goes away. And that's the natural cycle. But what's interesting is when, again, we get into this cycle where we're not recovering quite how we should be, or we're overstressing the system, and we have this delayed soreness that's beyond the normal expectation. And that's when we talk about, you know, in the clinic, and most people coming in the clinic to see me are in this state where it's become painful, and they can't solve it on their own with rest. And we always joke with this stress recovery cycle. We always say, you know, well, are you overstressed or are you under recovered? And it's kind of this rhetorical question, because the answer typically is, well, yes. You know, it's if I'm overstressed, I'm
under
probably under recovered. If I'm under recovered, I'm probably overstressed. So the reality is where do you break that cycle? And I think the best way to start talking about how do you address that, and again, using some of these products to address that, is defining what stress is and even what recovery is, because stress for most of us think of it's training stress. It's the physical, but the reality is your body doesn't know the difference between different stresses. Stress is stress. So it could be the stress of just finishing a full Ironman. It could be, I've got 4 kids at home and a newborn, and I haven't slept in over a year, a full night's sleep. And that's stress that your body responds to as well. So we have to kind of consider the types of stress that can influence the system. And then also discussing recovery, like when we talk about these products, is like, is this product going to work for me? What does it mean for this product to work for you? What does it mean to recover and to be recovered? And that's something that needs a definition, because we don't really have a pure metric for measuring recovery. We have some ways to do that, with objectively trying to measure it with resting heart rate or heart rate variability. And there's, our smart watches now tell us if we're recovered or not. And we start to rely on these. But at the same time, a lot of times recovery is based on feel, and especially with how it affects our movement. So feel is obviously a very subjective thing. So there's a lot of variables of those things that make up stress that can influence it. And so again, when we talk about where do we implement a massage recovery tool or product, a lot of times it can be implemented at any point in that stress recovery cycle, because if you use it and it's not necessarily needed at the point where you're under recovered or you're in that recovery state truly, you might be using it simply as a way to explore and feel the body and know how the body's doing. And it's almost like an assessment tool. If I'm rolling out a muscle and it's not really that sore, I'm probably doing okay. That muscle's happy. But then it can become very much a recovery treatment, right? So you're doing it at the stage you need it in, and it's actually, it becomes a treatment technique and a tool for then improving the state of that muscle. So it's kind of a long-winded answer as far as when do you need that recovery tool. It really can go at any point in that cycle and become a useful thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because when using the foam roller as an example, like you did, I mean, I can, if I'm on top of my foam rolling and I'm doing it consistently in my routine, my muscles generally like respond to that foam rolling very pleasurably. Like I enjoy those sessions. I can tell it's really making my leg muscles a little bit more happy as I'm rolling on them. And if I neglect that, if I haven't foam rolled in forever and I've done a couple runs, a couple bike sessions, and all of a sudden, you know what, I should probably foam roll. My muscles let me know that they are not happy with what I'm doing to them. And so, yes, I mean, to your point, it's a great barometer for how are my muscles responding to the training based on implementing that particular tool. And I also like, BJ, the way you talked about how it's somewhat of just how you feel in that cycle. I mean, just how your muscles feel in between sessions, after sessions, before sessions, really lets you know. Like, so for me, my pain cave in my house is upstairs. So how my legs feel heading up the stairs to do my next session often lets me know, oh man, I'm in for a long day. My muscles are already sore going up the stairs to get on my bike, and I haven't gotten on the bike yet. So how old man-ish I feel going up the stairs is a good indicator for me on how rested or recovered I am.
And it's funny, because that's really the biggest thing, because we've gotten so reliant on our wearable technology to tell us what to do, to tell us how we feel, right? It's like, I need my Garmin to tell me if I feel good today or not. Like,
how many recovery hours I need.
Right. And we're so worried about those numbers, but ultimately it boils down to how you feel. And again, these massage recovery tools and these products are really an opportunity to explore how we feel. We just have to take the time to listen.
So Craig, the last time that you were on the show with us, I mean, you talked about how the mission of your company, Metadyne, is to keep people moving. And Two Toms does that during activity by protecting our skin. We heard quite a bit about that. Love using my Two Toms. And the ProStretch Add-A-Day massage tools you carry do that before and after activity. So what led Metadyne, your company, to invest in products that help athletes massage and roll out our muscles?
It really all started with the ProStretch product. We had a study done a long time ago by a group of orthopedic doctors, and it, it it showed that people who used our heel cups, our Thule's heel cups, and did stretching solved heel pain, which generally is associated with plantar fasciitis, 88% of the time.
Wow.
And that stretching component really enhanced the effectiveness of, we'll call it, that therapy. And so we started doing a lot of research into stretching and realized the benefits that stretching has in not only recovery, but also performance. And so that led us on a journey for years now to develop different stretching products. And, you know, we've got several in the product line. And of course, we were looking for a massaging and rolling product line. And the Atoday product line is a perfect fit for us. And so we incorporated that into our company as well for the same reason, because of the benefits that rolling massaging has to performance and recovery. And so this overused term right now, but we kind of follow the science. We're like, gosh, the facts are there, right? And
yeah.
It works. And then from a personal experience, I had different injuries, different tendonitis. I was dealing with Achilles tendonitis. And of course, the ProStretch product is perfect for that. And so the proof's kind of in the pudding. But stretching, massaging, and rolling are, to me, are just key components to any athlete's routine for, I think, warming up, performance and recovery.
Yeah. So knowing just how many marathons and half marathons are in your portfolio as an athlete, Achilles tendonitis is a condition that can immediately shut down somebody training for races like that. I mean, has that product line and incorporating that into your regular routine really helped keep you healthy for those endeavors?
Absolutely. And not just, for the Achilles, it's the calf, it's the quads, it's, the lower back, the hips. I mean, it's BJ, Dr. BJ said it, it's the muscles, if they're not, if they're hurting, you're hurting, and that's the bottom line. Right. And so we got to keep them healthy. It's integral part.
So BJ, let's hop on the Magic School Bus and get a little sciencey for a moment. Anybody remember that TV show? I bet somebody in our audience does. As our muscles are going through that cycle of being stressed, then recovering, and then adapting to the training, what is actually happening in our muscles throughout that cycle?
Yeah, I mean, we can get as sciencey as you want. It's funny because we always talk with a lot of these things, we refer to there being an art and science to it. And so I always like to think of, well, how can we use science artfully, if that's a word? But the reality is there's the normal, like we were talking earlier, there's the normal stress recovery cycle of a muscle and you know, what a lot of people, maybe they realize it, maybe they don't, but the reason you get sore when you train and really are working on building strength in certain areas is you're literally tearing that muscle down. There's micro tearing that's occurring to basically break that muscle down so that then it can build back up. So naturally, when you stress a muscle tissue by breaking it down mechanically through training and different things, the body's releasing all kinds of things, metabolic stress factors, and then it needs that time to build back up. And that's what we don't always consider. We know that sometimes we get sore and we equate that to a good thing to a certain degree when we're going for a training effect. But what we don't often take into consideration is that your muscle is truly damaged. Like it needs to recover. And spoiler alert, that recovery happens when you're resting, not when you're training. So a lot of people think they can just continue to train over and over and not get that recovery and get that recovery while they're training. But the reality is rest is such an important thing. We talk about sleep a lot too, and that's obviously a big part of that. But what's more interesting to me is what happens when we get into that abnormal stress recovery cycle. Again, that are you overstressed or under recovered scenario. And the reality with that is, and this is when we need something to help break that cycle or help jumpstart us back into the healing and recovery process, it's when a muscle gets overstressed and it all of a sudden enters into, you can consider it this energy crisis where it actually becomes tight and ischemic, where it's not getting oxygen to it like it needs to, whether it's restriction of blood flow because you are so tight, but then that can lead to sensitizing chemicals that kind of get you caught in the cycle. And like we were saying earlier, there's physical stress that contributes to that, but there's psychological stress, you know, a tough work day, relationships, you know, different things that can play into that, where our muscles are, for lack of a better word, just always on. And then they get to this point where they don't know how to turn off. And there's some scientific reasons as to why that happens chemically and mechanically, but the reality is they need something to jumpstart the recovery process, to jumpstart that return of blood flow, oxygen to the area. And that can happen. And that's where it gets a little more artsy as far as what's really happening there. When we massage a muscle or we try to hit a trigger point or different things, like what's truly happening there. And there's different theories that aren't completely confirmed, but all we know is oftentimes it can work if we use it in the correct way. And in my opinion, what it's really doing at the end of it, you know, a lot of people say, well, muscles are muscles. If a tissue is tight, you beat it up and tenderize the meat, so to speak. But the reality is that meat is attached to a brain. And a lot of what we're doing when we do these techniques to jumpstart the recovery process is literally influencing the central nervous system.
Wow.
And we're going to get into more as we talk about these different types of products. But if we think of it, looking at it through that lens, the reality is a lot of what we're doing and affecting is our brain. We're affecting our brain. And as a result, it in turn affects our muscles. And so I think there's a lot to that we aren't quite fully sure of how it works, but we know it does work.
Yeah. So massages and massage tools. I mean, heck, even stretching. Often it's kind of like a hurt so good kind of feeling, right? It can be painful to use them, but in a way that makes you feel better, right? So Craig, BJ, I'm just curious to hear, and we're about to get kind of, we're going to go boom, boom, boom through the list of each individual product on the market and kind of what they do. But just in general, when we have a muscle that, BJ, like you said, is trying to recover, maybe it needs a help in jumpstarting that recovery, what does the process of massage, regardless of what form that massage is in, what does a massage do in particular for the body and the muscle?
I think the first place to start is, like we were saying earlier, I think when you massage the body, whether you're getting a professional massage or using a tool to do it to yourself, it's really a chance for you to explore your body and start to understand what areas need attention. Going in for a massage, somebody's working on you, all of a sudden they're working into an area and you didn't even realize it was tight. Mm. And all of a sudden you're aware. And that awareness is the first step, you know, figuring out where intervention needs to be taken. And to your point, Andrew, like the hurts so good mentality, there's something to that. That's kind of another factor to discuss, because let's be honest, the placebo effect is a very real thing. And I'm not saying there's nothing actually happening here and it's all in your head, but the reality is perception drives reality. So if you are going into a massage or you're using a tool to massage and you are thinking it's going to do something beneficial, the odds are you're probably right. And it will affect your central nervous system because you're expecting that. And there is some things there. And the interesting thing about that is placebo effects are actually, they tend to be stronger when the intensity of that manipulation or that feel is stronger.
Interesting.
So when you feel something more, it's more intense, and everyone's wired differently, but a lot of times that placebo effect is actually more effective when you feel something in a stronger way. But again, I think to me, there's a lot of science around, there's not a lot of science around recovery. There's a lot of science that's been shown to be inconclusive around recovery. So conclusive evidence is not all there, but the strongest evidence that we do have out there is actually around massage. And I think a lot of it is strong there because of the fact of what massage is doing from how it affects the central nervous system. It's obviously a mechanical input, but that mechanical input affects our central nervous system, gets us back into our parasympathetic state, kind of that rest and digest state. But I think they think there's a lot there just because somebody's putting your hands on you or you're feeling a manual input to the body. It sets our central nervous system up for just a different response.
So even if it is just for me, and maybe other listeners will find this helpful as well, but even if it's just for Andrew, the Average Triathlete podcast host, I just want to walk through some of the more popular products that athletes can buy to get a little personal massage at home of sorts. So, because I always wonder, right? I look at products that are online. I look at things that other people are using in their Instagrams and whatnot. And when I'm doing all that online shopping and browsing, you know, all of these products have different variations. And so I just want to hear from you guys, you know, what is helpful? What should we know about massage products? And what is just kind of maybe personal preference up to the athlete? What do you like? So for all these items, we're going to go one by one and hit us with what they are for, why we would want to use it, and what we need to know about the variations. And so, Craig, we'll hear from you first here. Let's start with massage balls, the classic lacrosse ball kind of thing. And you're holding one up right now. Yes, sir.
I keep it at my desk all the time, ironically, because it's a great pinpoint massage tool. And that's what I use it for. I'll get certain areas of my body that are really hard to reach, or they're very pinpointed. And it's a great tool. It's a great portable tool. You can have it anywhere, like I have it at my desk all the time. You can take it with you anywhere, but it's can get, you know, when you have real specific spots that you need to massage, they're really good for that. And so that's generally what I use those for, and I think a lot of people use them for.
Yeah, my favorite place to use them, honestly, is my feet. And I have literally a three or four of these with different patterns and spiky from Adaday, from Metadyne's website. I bought the trio of balls, and I've got one up in the pancake in my basket. I've got one at my desk for when I'm just on work calls and want to roll my foot over it. So I love these on my feet. My feet get a little crampy real easily. I don't know if it's I just have poor blood circulation or something, but I like stretching my toes out over these, you know, rubbing my feet over these when I can. And BJ, it's funny. I called BJ a couple months ago, and I had just tweaked my neck because I'm an old man. I was just sleeping in bed and woke up, and I could not bend my head to the left. And BJ gave me a couple of things to do, and a couple of things that he gave me included leaning against the wall with one of my balls, massage balls, and just right in the right, you know, crook and nanny of my shoulder blades. And that was one of the steps he gave me to helping, to your point, Craig, pinpoint that sore tight area. BJ, what's your insight on massage balls?
Yeah, it's funny because a couple years ago, I was working with one of the top U.S. Steeplechase runners, and he was making a run at Tokyo, and we were...
Really interesting sport, steeplechase.
Yeah.
Really fun to watch.
But, you know, he obviously puts in a ton of miles, and we were just talking shop after one of his sessions, and I'm like, so when you're traveling, you know, you're getting ready to go to the trials, like, what do you keep in your arsenal? Like when you're on the road, like what's your recovery method? And he pulls out of his backpack a lacrosse ball. He's like, this is it. And for him, his main issues, like you said, are kind of feet, calves, hips. And like Craig said, it just, you can get into those hard to reach places. It's portable. He can use them for all these little, we call them pin and stretch techniques, where you in essence kind of pin down that muscle that might be taut. And then you do some dynamic contract relax while that muscle's pinned down, just by pumping your ankle back and forth or doing various kind of dynamic stretching movements. And that was his go-to, that to keep his body reset, healthy, things like that. I've had patients in the past where I've they've come in with chronic headaches, and I've told them to go out and get a couple of those 25-cent bouncy ball. You know, you get those those vending machines that the kids always buy out of, and get a couple of those little bouncy balls and tape them together, and they fit right in that area of the suboccipital region, just at the base of your skull. And there's a lot of ways to get that, but those balls are great ways to do it. And if you find something that's working for you, and there's a lot of different products, like buy something that's got the durability. You know, you can try the little 25-cent ball technique, but then if it's working, find something that's a little more durable that will last and
sure,
replace that. But yeah, they're great techniques.
There are several variations here. There's ones with little bumps. There's ones that are harder, ones that are softer. There's ones that are bigger and smaller. There's ones that have little spikies on the end. I have several, like I alluded to, and I just kind of use them based on which room I happen to be in at the time and which one's closest to me when I want to rub my foot or shoulder over something. BJ, do those different textures do anything different, or is it just kind of an athlete preference kind of thing?
Yeah, it's really a preference thing. And this is the funny thing about the human body. Like, everybody's body is different, and there's areas of the body that are even different. And I always equate it to, like, muscles have minds of their own, right? So it's like, if you were going to coach a group of athletes, some athletes are going to respond to you as a coach getting in their face and yelling at them. That's the way they become motivated. Others are going to shy away from that, right? You're going to need to use the gentle approach and kind of soft encouragement, you know, and everybody's different that way. And in the body, it's a similar thing. Like we're saying, muscles are attached to the brain, and there's different areas of the body that need more aggressive work, and there's areas that need a gentle approach. And so it's never a one size fits all. You just really have to explore, experiment, and it literally might change year to year. And there might be years where you need a gentle approach, and then other years where you need that really intense, hurt so good feel. And it's all really individual. I'd like to say there's a real distinct science to predict when and where, but there really isn't.
No, very interesting, very helpful. Moving on to foam rollers, everybody's favorite way to torture yourself in your pain cave. Craig, what do we need to know about foam rollers?
You know, foam rollers are really great for some of the bigger muscle groups. And I really like them because with foam rollers, I feel like you can get a good, steady, intense, but slow massage, which, you know, to what the doctor said, you know, every muscle is a little bit different, has its own personality. And, you know, some of those bigger muscle groups, it's a better way to massage those. You know, and so I really like our Nonagon, which is our kind of our bigger foam roller for the back. I think that I really like it, and I like that I can go slow with it and really kind of ease into the massage. And then we've got some different ones that are more portable and some different densities and so forth, and even a little bit different shapes. But in general, that's what I like about the foam rollers is you can get some of those bigger muscle groups, and you can use your body weight to get good pressure, but then you can slowly use that pressure to massage the muscles out. And I really like that aspect of those.
Yeah, and spot on with my experience. I was introduced to foam rolling when I was a maybe 26, 27-year-old. And I was having some kind of lower back pain, and I visited a physical therapist here in the Dallas area, and he got me doing a couple things with a foam roller to keep my he was explaining it's not a problem with your lower back, it's a problem with tight glutes and IT band, and he showed me how to roll out those larger muscle groups, and so I have like two or three go-to foam roll moves that I just keep in the rotation, and he showed me, Craig, exactly what you said, slow and controlled. You know, no reason to rush going back and forth over that muscle. Let it be slow and controlled. And that's how I approach my time on my foam roller. BJ, are we spot on there? Anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think Craig said it well, where it can affect the bigger muscle groups in an easier way. And positioning, we haven't talked about this yet, but positioning is really critical. If you can position on one of these products in a way that allows you to put a little bit of your body weight into it and relax, that's key. If you're not relaxing, if you're holding your breath, there's no way that recovery tool is doing anything for you. It might be chaining you up. So your ability to get on these products and find a position in a spot where you can then just let things go, relax and breathe, I mean, that's a critical element. And bigger foam rollers like that can help you do that. But you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't get on my soapbox as a physical therapist and say this.
Do it.
Because,
yeah, do it.
You know, the foam roller is a staple. Everyone talks about foam rolling, got a foam roll. But I always joke, you know, and half joking, but I always tell people, if you're still foam rolling, you know, if foam rolling is truly working for you, you shouldn't have to be a slave to it. You shouldn't have to be a slave to it. Let's just put it that way. And just like I tell my patients, like, if you're still seeing me in a year for the same thing, you better fire me because I'm not doing my job right. Or maybe it's on you that you're not holding up to your end of the bargain. So the reality is, with all these products we're talking about, and I'm just throwing foam roller into this because it's the one that gets talked about the most, but if you're using it as a reset tool for recovery, like we're talking about, that's great. But what are you doing to reinforce that reset? What are you doing to make sure that you don't need to continue? Are you changing some of the stressors that might be contributing to your body being overstressed, underrecovered? So it's the reset tool is what we're talking about. That's what gets a lot of the press, but it's that next step in the process. What are you doing to reinforce that so you can use it to your advantage, but you don't have to play slave to it?
No, and I definitely want people to catch that point that you made. That it was like a two-liner that you said, but it's crucial to our understanding of how to use massage tools, and that's you shouldn't be fighting the massage tool. I mean, you should be using that to allow your muscle to relax into the massage tool. So great point there, BJ. That should be underlined and highlighted by everybody listening, just in your head. So moving on from foam rollers to massage canes. Now, I got to say, Tridot founder, CEO Jeff Boer, he has a massage cane at home. And when we meet as a staff at his house, Craig's holding it up right now. It's in his office behind him. At Jeff's house, when we're meeting there for a couple of days as a Tridot staff, you know, doing some meetings, it always makes an appearance and it just gets passed around the room, right? Like we're in meetings just chatting about upcoming Tridot initiatives. And we all just like pass around Jeff Boer's massage cane, pressing to our shoulders and things that are stiff from sitting there talking for a while. And that was the first time I'd ever used one. And man, you can really dig into some key places with these things. Craig, talk to us about these canes.
You know, I liken the cane to a brother or sister product to the massage balls because it's a pinpoint type massage. It does help you to get a little bit of movement, kind of like a ball, but it's great for reaching those hard to reach areas.
Absolutely.
I keep this one at my desk that I'm sitting here showing you for my upper back and my neck. You know, when you're sitting here all day and you're hunched over a keyboard and looking at a screen all day, there's just nothing better, like you were talking about. You dig into those spots and it just provides you a nice release. And a good pinpoint to those troubled areas. They're really unique products. And there's a couple other spots in my legs that I have a hard time getting with even a massage ball. And I'll use these things. And, you know, your piriformis and hip is one of those areas. And then parts of my hamstrings, they're just really great for getting in there and you can really control the pressure really nice, but really pinpoint at the same time. This to me is like an essential tool. I don't know that I have them at home. I have them at the office. I can't imagine not having one available anymore because there's sometimes I just have to have it.
So if you were to travel with one of any of these tools, that would be the pick for you?
Yeah, in particular, this little one is just for that reason. It's our mini not bad, like we call it. But yeah, if I had to pick one, this would be it. I just love it.
Okay, and for our listeners, if you go to the Metadyne website and click on the massage cane tab, the one specifically that he's holding on the screen right now is the Attaday Mini Not Bad Massage Cane. So that is the top pick by Metadyne Vice President of Marketing, Craig DiGiovanni. I'm looking, Craig, at the Attaday Terminator Massage Cane. One, it's Tridot colors, red and black. And two, it's got like spiky tips on the end. And I'm really digging the idea of digging that into some places. BJ, what do these canes do for us that maybe the lacrosse balls, the massage balls, and some other tools can't do?
Yeah, it's funny. We in the clinic, we always talk about search and destroy. It's kind of the mantra you take of being able to, like we're saying, explore the body, find the areas that are tight and that are sore, and that's probably where you need to be. And that's kind of the mantra. But yeah, I think massage canes are great because to me, it's the position and your ability to relax. So massage canes are nice because you can apply the pressure to yourself, but it's in a way that still allows you to apply a lot of pressure, but relaxing. So it's one thing to kind of use your hand to grab your upper trap, but you're straining to grab and reach and do all those things. But if you can use a hook to dig in a firm way and just simply relax your arms as you pull down, there's benefit in just being able to let the rest of your body go as you maintain that pressure. And that's kind of a unique thing about those canes that when you need it to be applied by yourself, you don't have to hire a professional to come in and do it. You can get some pretty effective release that way.
Yeah, kind of like what we talked about. If it's a spot that you can't get to, maybe you can get to it with a ball, or maybe you can get to it with your hand, but that doesn't allow you to relax that muscle into the massage tool. Having that cane might allow you to do that. So I'm definitely gonna have some seek and destroy sessions with this Terminator cane, because again, Tri-Dot colors, I'm just a sucker for the red and black. Let's move on to now. This is like the big ticket, like cool item to have in the personal massage item world, and it's the massage guns. And BJ, you have some strong feelings about these. What would you tell us about using a massage gun versus maybe some of these items we've already talked about?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a whole podcast in and of itself, because vibration is just a completely different stimulus, right? And I think it has gotten a lot of press recently, just because they've just become very popular, and the vibration is very unique. Again, it's almost this inhibitory process to the pain response you get when you're massaging something that's very sore. And so it's using the science of it's kind of along the lines of what we call the gate control theory, which is like if you bang your shin on something and then you just rub around it, you're increasing stimulus around it, so it helps calm the pain down. So it kind of allows you to work on areas you know are very sore, but be able to tolerate it a little bit different way. And again, it's a different input to the central nervous system. So the vibration can just simply, for some people, just really bring them back into that parasympathetic state a little bit more quickly. But it's personal preference too. We've vetted a lot of different products in the clinic. You've probably heard me talk before. We use a lot of the Hyperice products, like the Hypervolt gun, but it's a great tool. It's definitely not necessary. I mean, we can get a lot of the effect of what we're talking about through these other methods, but it's just another stimulus that sometimes can bring people to where they need to be in a very quick way.
I've met triathletes that will not travel without their massage gun. I've met triathletes that bought one, tried it, and just didn't see what the hype was about. And to your point, BJ, that we established at the beginning of the episode, all these tools, it's really what does your body respond to? Because the whole intention here is hitting that reset on your body and getting your muscles to enter that state of recovery. And so if a massage gun does that for you, great. And if it doesn't, great. I personally don't find it really helps me feel less achy or painy in my muscles after a session or something. What I like my gun for is used in conjunction with stretching. So after I go for a run, perhaps, if I know I'm going to spend 20, 25 minutes just kind of stretching out those muscles on the backside of a run, I might use the massage gun on some of those muscle groups that I'm already stretching. Just to kind of enhance that stretching experience. And that's the way I like to use it personally. But yeah, great insight there, BJ. So for some of these items, and you just talked about vibration kind of can induce a different feeling than some of these other non-vibrating items that we talked about. There's also massage balls, and there's some foam rollers that add vibration. Sometimes they add cooling and heating. BJ, what do these different stimuluses do for our body, if anything?
Yeah, it's just really switching up the input to the central nervous system again. So your body gets used to one thing, and that can be anything, really. By switching it up and adding a different type of stimulus, sometimes you can take yourself to a different level than you would have otherwise. And it's very individual. Again, it's one of those things you try it and you see. But ultimately, it comes down to what does your brain perceive, and do you have a perception that it's going to work too? I mean, that's another part of it. Sometimes I was very skeptical trying a vibrating foam roller for the first time. I thought they're expensive, they're gimmicky. What's this going to do? And I actually tried it, and I found that it did work for me in a way that normal foam rolling didn't. But it's not to say that foam rolling wasn't working normally without the vibration for me. It just,
sure,
it probably for me was honestly just a different stimulus to the nervous system that allowed me to relax in a different way. So I think we can kind of get caught up in like, well, what's proven, what's not proven. But at the end of the day, it's really about what you perceive as a difference and what you feel. And to get that, you just really have to try it.
And that's the cool thing here, because a lot of these items are easy to pick up over time and add to the arsenal, right? And I've gone and again, my most recent purchase was the Added A Trio of balls. And so I got three different kind of textured balls at once in my order. But I've been in a running store here, triathlon shop there, and I might pick up a massage cane on one trip, and I might pick up because they're all. And then you just kind of get to see what works for you. Are these honestly make great stocking stuffers for triathletes? If you have a loved one in your life who's an athlete, throwing some stuff like this in the Christmas stocking is really a fun way to pick them up and try it and see if your body responds to it, if your body can relax into it and have some induced relaxation from it, recovery from it. So, Craig, I'm just curious, since you're the guy who sells so much of this, Metadyne carries many of these products we've talked about. So you have the actual data and the numbers on what athletes are putting their money behind and buying the most often. So I'm curious just to hear from you. What are some of the stories from athletes who are buying these products and what products are people actually buying?
Next to our heart, the calf is one of the hardest working muscles in our body, right? And so the ProStretch product for stretching the calf, Achilles, and the plantar fascia is by far one of our best-selling products because it's a muscle that really gets a lot of overuse and it needs to be conditioned and taken care of. And so that product is, it's very popular. And ultimately, plantar fasciitis is such a common and debilitating issue that people have. And it's caused mainly by a tight calf. And so it's really a therapeutic product for solving that problem. So we sell the product for a lot of different reasons. Plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, just tight calves, even tight hamstrings. It's great for stretching even the hamstrings. So that's one of our best-selling products. We've been working and kind of reintroducing the ProStretch Adaday products into a lot of running stores lately. And ironically, you wouldn't think this, but the product that gets people the most excited is our core stretch product.
Really?
And our core stretch product stretches every muscle in the posterior side of your body, starting with your triceps, your traps, your lats, your lower lumbar. Really great for your piriformis and glutes, your IT band, your hamstrings, all the way down that posterior chain of your body. But it's a really great, unique, highly effective product. And so we've been getting a lot of attention with that product lately.
Interesting, because I've seen it on the website. And so I have a ProStretch. I want to be very clear on this. My ProStretch lives right underneath my desk, and I'm very passionate about it. I wake up in the morning here at Tridot. We have a 15-minute kind of staff, morning connect call. We call it the daily huddle every workday of the week, where we just kind of see each other, say, hey, interface, who needs what from who. And very often while I'm on that call, I am stretching out my tight calves with my ProStretch. And I am very prone to tight calves myself. So it's probably an issue with my run form, that if Jeff Raines got eyes on my running form, it's probably my fault that I have tight calves all the time. But I do. And so it's very, very helpful. And so I've seen the core stretch on the website and just never honestly paid it much mind. So that's very, very interesting to hear. That's a top selling item. I'm on board, Craig, with anything that's going to help me stretch out my glutes, which you mentioned.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you talk about this theories of stretching science. And again, this could be another podcast in and of itself.
Sounds good. Let's look at it. Yep, let's plan it.
But it's definitely therapeutic, and stretching is definitely a big thing that is advantageous. But what's interesting about stretching is it's not necessarily doing what most people think it's doing. So like Craig's mentioning, when you can be on a device or something like the ProStretch and get that instant release, or the core stretch and get that instant release, a lot of people think, well, I just lengthened my tissue mechanically during that period of time. And that's
sure.
The reality is that's not necessarily what's happening directly. It's if you have a muscle that's on, like if I have somebody on a table and he's lying prone, he's lying face down, and I touch his hamstring and it's sore, it's tender, and you can tell it's on. It's like he's at rest, but yet his muscle is not at rest. And so it's in this kind of balled up, contracted state, for lack of a better term. And so a lot of times what's happening with stretching is it's a mechanical input of tensioning the system, but then that evokes a response of the central nervous system that allows that muscle this opportunity to relax. Okay, I give you the ground, the groundwork to then relax. And by relaxing, in essence, it's changing length. Does that make sense? But it's different than mechanically. I'm taking this structure and I'm pulling it out. So again, the reality is when we evoke that response of the central nervous system to let something go or to give muscle the freedom to completely relax, it can be night and day in a matter of 30 seconds. And I think the biggest thing to take home that I advise people with regards to stretching is that longer and harder is not always better. A lot of times we're talking about muscle tissue that's ischemic, it's lacking oxygen. So if we hold for long periods, hard intensities, sometimes that adds to the ischemia and it can almost make things worse. So I'm always a big advocate of, light intensity, long, more frequent repeats of those stretches. So I always tell people in the clinic, remember the rule of three sets, 30 seconds, three times a day. So again, there's various opinions on that, but that's in general what I've seen in the clinic and what I've heard is the most effective way to approach stretching, because stretching can be deleterious if you do it incorrectly, but done the right way, using tools like Craig's talking about with the Pro Stretch, highly effective.
That's exactly the regimen that we recommend, 3-3-3. I mean, it's exactly what we recommend. It's funny you say that.
I need somebody from the Tryout audience to Photoshop Dr. BJ Leeper's face onto Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus for all the science knowledge he's dosing out to us today. So, BJ, I will say this, because there is, of course, kind of zigzagging back to massage. There is, of course, the option of booking an actual massage performed by an actual person. It's more costly. It's a reoccurring cost, unlike these massage tools where you buy them once, then you have them. Is there a difference in between the impact a regular massage done by a person has on our muscles versus using these items to kind of do it ourselves?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you pay for a 60-minute nap. I mean, it's forced rest.
Hey. Right?
I mean, and I joke, but it honestly forces you to rest. It forces you to lay down and you're not having to worry about, applying something to yourself. There's a lot of benefit just in that simple fact. I mean, not to go on a tangent here, but a lot of times with recovery, especially as type A triathletes, we get so focused on, well, what's the best way to recover? How do I do this? What's the right product to get? And it almost becomes another stressor thinking about how we're trying to unstress ourselves. And the reality is our bodies just need to find that whatever it is to relax. And with a professional massage, honestly, just lying down, having somebody else dictate the exploration of where those areas that might be restricted are, there's power in that assessment of having a massage. And then if you line up with the person, if it's the right intensity, like we've talked before, it has to be appealing to your system. So there are such things as too aggressive massages to some people where they don't get the benefit because it's too intense. And there's others that are just too light and you didn't get anything out of it because they didn't go hard enough. And so if you line up and you find the right person that, hits you where your central nervous system needs it, it can be a huge effect. And there's high benefit from that. But if you don't get the right alignment and you're post-race, you sign up for that massage that's free after the race and you get somebody that's way too aggressive and the whole time you're tense and you probably would have been better off just grabbing the post-race beer and propping your feet up, that you'd probably actually get more recovery benefit from that than a massage that didn't line up with what your body needed. So, but yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's hugely beneficial.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
I am really excited to use today's cooldown to introduce to the Tryout audience someone that you'll be hearing a lot more from moving forward as we continue rocking with the podcast and as we get our faces on our soon-to-be-released YouTube show. We thought now was a great time to expand the media hosting roster here at Tryout. We have a fantastic rotation of coaches and experts that step in and teach us from show to show, but to date, it's largely just been me in the hosting seat. So longtime Tryout ambassador Vanessa Ronxley will be coming on the show from time to time as something of a co-captain of the middle of the pack. I've had many conversations with Vanessa, and I am confident you will enjoy hearing from her as much, if not more, than you enjoy hearing from me. She is kind, she is curious, and she is entertaining. And I cannot wait for you to hear more from her as she contributes to Tridot Media. So, Vanessa, for the first time of many, welcome to the Tridot Podcast.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here, and I am over the moon to be a part of this amazing company and amazing team. I'm really looking forward to it.
So plenty of our Tridot ambassadors and really more active members of our I Am Tridot Facebook group, they're already going to know who you are, particularly from your TikTok fame here at Tridot. But for the rest of our audience, hit us just with kind of the essential facts about Vanessa. You know, where are you from? Where do you live? What is your full-time occupation? What's your family like? Hobbies? Whatever you want to lay on us. This is our get-to-know Vanessa time right here.
Okay, perfect. I'm actually from Calgary, Alberta, which is way up in Canada. But I'm currently living the dream in Sydney, Australia, because my husband's on a sabbatical. And we live essentially 8-minute walk from this gorgeous beach. And
jealous.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. And yeah, we're close to everything. We walk everywhere. We don't need a car. It's just, this lifestyle is amazing. So yeah, living the dream here in Australia, and it's the absolute best. So that's pretty awesome. And as for my occupation, well, I was a high school biology teacher for a really long time. And when I had kids, I realized that I could not be the kind of teacher that I wanted to be, and I couldn't be the kind of mom that I wanted to be at the same time. So I made a really hard choice to resign from my position as a teacher. And it's funny how things work out, because a little later I was offered a project management job at the University of Calgary. It's quite a large project, and it's a training program to help improve the quality of research for women's and girls' health across Canada. And I'm overseeing the whole thing, and it's been so amazing to be able to be a part of this cool work. So that's my current job.
And on the side, it gives you some time for podcasting, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's my other part of my work life at the moment is getting all involved in this podcasting. And I'm really excited about that, because I think it's going to be quite suitable to my personality. So I'm lucky enough to be able to be working remotely from Sydney. So that's great. And for my family, I have a pretty amazing husband. We just celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary in September.
Yay, congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm actually trying to convince him that being a triathlete is like the coolest thing ever. But I still have my work cut out for me, because he hasn't bought into the grand plan yet. And the grand plan is to be one of those cutesy triathlon couples, because
absolutely,
they're just so awesome, right?
Yeah, we're going to need regular updates on how, and his name is PJ, correct?
Yeah, PJ, yeah.
So we will need regular updates on how you are doing and convincing PJ to become a triathlete. So that's good stuff right there. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's like a 10-year plan. Just so you know, we're about 3 years in, so I have some work to do. But yeah, that's basically my hubby. And we have two kids whom I absolutely adore. My son is 9 years old. My daughter is 6 years old. And they're basically the best little people that I want to be around pretty much all the time. And we love going on adventures together. We laugh. We do silly things. We talk about life. And I just feel so lucky to be their mom. And one of the coolest things about triathlon that has kind of infused itself into my family life is I really love teaching them all about what I've learned about grit and mental fortitude the sport. And it's truly invaluable. And I just really hope that exposing them to this kind of mindset at such a young age sets them up for success later on in their lives. So yeah, that's basically me in a nutshell.
And Vanessa, it's one of the things that I'm excited to have you on the show, is just to kind of share your perspective. I mean, it's a perspective in the sport that I don't have. We're both average athletes, so that works out across the board. That stays consistent amongst our hosts. But just your perspective being in the sport as a parent, as a mom, I'm really excited for our listeners to get to connect to that side of you that they can't really connect to listening to me. So with your move to Australia, there was some talk of you coming on board with TriDot, maybe to kind of help with some form of customer support, giving us a key support person on the other side of the world. But then Jeff Boer, TriDot founder and CEO, he asked me, what if Vanessa came on as a podcast and YouTube personality as well? And I immediately was like, oh my goodness, that is such a good idea. Vanessa, when you were approached with the idea of coming on the shows, what was your reaction?
Well, I think you might want the truth as opposed to the sugar-coated version. But I was absolutely terrified. That was my initial reaction. Just because I have not had that much experience speaking publicly, and aside from my teaching job, which I love to do because I basically feel like I'm performing in front of an audience every single day. That was kind of fun. So I was pretty scared. But then as soon as I got used to the idea, I was like, oh my gosh, this is really exciting. And I think it's going to be amazing. And so now, after it's been a little small chunk of time, I'm actually really excited. And I can't wait. Like, let's get going. I want to do this right now.
Great. Well, you and I have had some great conversations already, just about the podcast workflow, getting you up to speed, getting you ready to contribute. We've talked about how we want to craft our YouTube show episodes. That's coming very soon. So now that you've had a little bit more time to wrap your head just around it all, what are you hoping to bring to the TriDot audience as a contributor to the shows?
I think that something that's really of value to me is that I wholeheartedly believe with my entire being that triathlon is for absolutely everybody. I can't believe the number of people I have seen who cross those finish lines. And no matter who you are, you have the ability to accomplish that. And when I crossed my first finish line, there was nothing in my life that actually compared to that actual feeling. And I want everybody to have that feeling. So what I hope to contribute is a space for everyone in triathlon, anybody in triathlon like me. I was not a swimmer. I was not a biker. I was not a runner. And I just got involved in the sport, and I want everyone to have that opportunity. So I just want everyone to be able to experience all of that. And in the way that I will be doing that, I want to inspire people to do hard things, because we all need to do hard things. And I want people to laugh. I hope people laugh, because it's so much fun to laugh. And as you can tell from the TikTok videos on Facebook page, I want people to smile and be engaged with the community. And I hope that I'm infectiously enthusiastic, and that people can just like feel the passion oozing out of me when I'm chatting on the podcast or doing something on the YouTube show or whatever. So that's hopefully what I'm going to bring.
So in the long term, our audience, you are all going to hear Vanessa jumping onto the show in all kinds of ways. In the near term, Vanessa will be taking over and crushing the podcast cool downs. Now, I have always wanted our cool downs to focus less on the TriDot coaching team. You hear from us plenty in the warmups and main sets. And I've always wanted our cool downs to focus more on TriDot athletes and your stories. So, a lot of the funny or informative segments that we've done on our cool downs historically will be moving over to the YouTube show in video form. So Vanessa will constantly be on the hunt for good short form interviews that will add a lot of value and a lot of heart to the end of our episodes. On my side, I'm going to try to keep the main set flowing on time so that Vanessa has a good 10, 12 minutes at the end of every episode to do a great cool down interview. So be sure to stay tuned to the end of every episode moving forward for Vanessa time. Now, Vanessa, I pitch myself as Andrew, the average triathlete, captain of the middle of the pack. As part of the TriDot hosting team, what can our listeners expect to hear you say as you introduce yourself?
Well, Andrew, I have been thinking about this for a really long time. And
of course,
I was like, how can I top Andrew's tagline? Like, it's the best one ever. So I felt kind of intimidated to come up with something just as fancy and as cool as that. And basically the only thing that I could come up with was Vanessa, the average triathlete. So I asked my husband, I was like, can you just help me out? And immediately he blurted out, Vanessa, the average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm. And I've been playing around with that one.
Right?
I think it's hilarious. So it's absolutely true. And that might be one that sticks, but we'll have to see. So maybe it'll be a surprise, but it could be along the lines of elite level of enthusiasm.
Well, that's it for today, folks. I want to thank Craig DiGiovanni from Metadyne and TriDot's Director of Human Performance, Dr. BJ Leeper, for helping us make the best use of our massage, rolling, and stretching tools. If you want to do a little online shopping for some of the items we talked about today, head to Metadyne.com to check out the ProStretch Add-A-Day Recovery Tool lineup. Use promo code TRIDOT for 20% off your order. While you are there, add a sample of Two-Tom Sport Shield anti-chafing towelettes into your cart. You will adore them, I promise. Thanks so much for listening. We'll do it all again soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.